Holding Out for a Hero on Radio Without Rules, 107.9, 92.9, The Point. All right, so that takes us back a little bit, right, Eric?
It takes me back to skating backwards to there that song go. At the roller disco.
We've got Eric Lieberman in the house. How are you doing today?
Woo! I'm great. It's a beautiful Durango morning.
Absolutely. Great to have you back in town. We're talking Durango Playfest. Last year, you were such a hit with as Albert Einstein.
Oh, that was so much fun. And what an amazing community to embrace this group of misfit toys who fly in once a year to bring some new art to life.
Well, it's so good to have you back. And what drew you back to come back to Durango Playfest this summer?
Well, it doesn't take much. You don't have to twist my arm because Mandy and Felicia, who run the festival, said, we've got a beautiful new play. It's called Drowning. And it's a first-time full-length playwright, Bill Capasser. And I just loved it. It was poetry on the page. And we're really starving for incubative spaces for new work to come to life. And we're so fortunate that this wonderful town has created a play zone for us. So, I mean, a week here, it's like a great vacation and also soul renewing.
All right. Well, so let's talk Drowning. It's a powerful, it's an emotional piece. And you talked a little bit about your initial reaction to the script there, but how did your conversation with the director influence your decision to take on the role?
Well, Melissa Furlitt is a wonderful New York-based director. I live in New York as well. And the priority was making sure that there would be, I call them emotional floaties. You know, you wear floaties in the pool. Well, sadly and ironically, because of the subject matter of this piece, you want to be sure that the guardrails are up so that everyone can have an experience that is supportive and uplifting, even as it is cathartic and tragic. This play covers grief. And in particular, it covers the way that men deal with grief or don't deal with grief. And I think that is the undergirding that makes it so strong, because we live in a time and a place where, particularly in male bodies, we're not encouraged to feel sadness.
Yeah.
And also to share that with each other and let that be metabolized and turn into something else. You know, we grab a beer, we grab a gun, we grab something instead of each other and say, I need help. I need help. And in this case, I lose my son. And it's you know, for anyone out there who's been unfortunate enough to experience the loss of a child, it's not something you ever get over. And this man almost abandons himself. I won't say too much more than that, other than we need community, especially as we all experience so much loss. And this play, for me, is a reminder to surrender to that, to ask for that. And it's very meta insofar as Durango is providing space for that expression to come to life on stage.
How long have you been working on this one?
One day.
Okay.
I need a hero!
It certainly seems like you've already got your full arc of your character built and everything.
Well, I don't think as a human being we walk through life with blinders on anymore. We can't. There's too much that's been stripped away. And so we have to find a graceful language to exist in conversation with ourselves and these truths so that we can, in fact, not drown and find a way to swim. I am a swimmer, actually. And for me, that's a moving meditation. And life is, right? We've all got to find that thing, that golden thread that helps us, despite whatever circumstances we may be faced with, to exist in conversation with life and hopefully existing to uplift someone else and make someone else's day and someone else's life a better place to be. We take turns doing that.
Yeah. Well, so you're playing Roger, a grieving father, haunted, possibly literally, by his son's death. And as we've just discussed, that's a very heavy emotional landscape. And from the actor's perspective, it's very important to connect yourself to that character. So how has that process been of kind of diving into your own grief to be able to do this performance?
Well, it's hard. If you're buoyed by good writing, the writing becomes the lifeline. The body, as a sounding board, responds to the writing. And we all, in our blood memory, contain collective grief, individual and collective grief. You don't have to look far to feel an empathic connection with loss today. And we've all gone through it. You know, I think the great illusion is that we're not all wounded on some level. And standing upright is an act of revolution. So for me, you know, as an actor, the exercise becomes, how do you not take that home at the end of the day? I love to take a walk and just look at things that are larger than myself, which is everything in Colorado. A tree, sure, a mountain, yeah. A river. And also to look in the eyes of children. As you see a child being pushed past you in their stroller, they're never going to know who you are or that you glanced into their eyes as they're meeting the world fresh. But they're a wonderful reminder to say, as you face the day, I am just beginning.
Yeah. Man, you're deep on this stuff. I like
it. I consulted AI. I said, please write me some answers that present depth.
Well, play development festivals like Durango Playfest play such a unique role in the theatrical ecosystem. From your perspective, why are these kinds of festivals so vital, not just for actors, but for writers, directors, audiences, and so on?
Well, social media, I was talking about with my friend here this morning, has really shrunk the landscape of privacy. And the reason that's so costly to art making is that, as Goethe said, talent is developed in private. We're meant to walk before we can crawl and crawl before we run and fly. Theater used to have a built-in system, not only of apprenticeship, but trying things out of town before the watchful eyes of critics. Nowadays, as soon as someone sees you, they post about it. We need as many private, it's not exactly private, but let's say safe spaces where we can cordon off the time to make mistakes. Because if we don't have permission to make mistakes, we can't make art. And a lot of the incubative spaces in the U.S. have disappeared due to lack of funding. But it's funny, I had the honor and privilege of working with Robert De Niro twice in the last year on the development of new pieces. Even somebody like that has to find room to elasticate a vision and see what shape it wants before it's tested before an audience. So we're gifted with these few days here. And I mean, growing up and developing a lot of plays, I can tell you most of those spaces don't exist anymore. So I'm really glad this one does.
Well, and speaking of, as a writer yourself, your book Wisdom from an Empty Mind and your work on Death Becomes Her, how does your experience as a creator inform the way that you approach someone else's work, like Drowning?
Well, I think that the creative spirit is essentially consistent across art forms and genres, meaning that you're either in agreement to be in creative conversation in your life or you're not. So I can be writing, I can be acting, I can be coaching, directing, whatever. If I'm waking up and agreeing to meet the I don't know with open arms, I think the disease a lot of us suffer from, and it's so easy to get crusted over with this, is I know. I can hide behind my ideas so I don't have to risk feeling vulnerable. But artists agree to exist in the I don't know. I just want to clarify that I assisted the wonderful and legendary writer Marco Panette on Death Becomes Her. So he wrote the show. I brought Diet Cokes and lobbed in a couple jokes. But I had a blast doing it. But yeah, I think that you don't have to be an actor or writer to live in creative conversation. You can be doing that in your garden. Or if you're serving someone their breakfast, daring to meet their eye and not say, oh, I met you yesterday, so I know who you are today. No, you don't, yeah. Actually. I think that's the death of a lot of relationships, is saying, I knew who you were, so I know who you are. Well, you don't. And if you work in theater, you know that to be true, mm-hmm. because 8 times a week, there's a different audience. You can't say, I did it better yesterday. Harvey Fierstein's memoirs called I Was Better Last Night. And that's the joke of it, is you're agreeing to meet life and the energetics before you fresh.
So, and I've asked this question probably in most Playfest interviews here, but it's because it's, to me, it was always something that was a dream of mine to be the original cast member in something. You open that, the word's escaping me
the,
now.
The first play from Samuel French.
Yes, exactly. and that right there, original cast, your name's on there. But this is nothing new to you. You've originated so many memorable roles on and off Broadway, from War Paint to the band's visit to Fiddler and Hunchback. But what's unique about building a brand new character in a workshop setting like this?
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny. I remember going to the bookstore and opening up the band's visit and being shocked to see my own name. It's a privilege to be able to breathe first life into something. I didn't do that for Fiddler, by the way, because that was in 64. Okay. I got to do the revival, which was, although someone came up to me and said, are you the one from the movie? I'm like, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. But I think my favorite part is being in conversation with the playwright.
Okay.
Because you can interrogate the work together. You can really change things. And it takes on, you're in the DNA of it, and you know that. I remember when I was working on Hunchback, I said, I'd like to offer some suggestions here for the next in line, because by its very nature, theater is a rental art. Mm-hmm. It's not ownership. We get to wear the costume, and that's why doing Hamlet is so extraordinary, because you know you're standing on the shoulders of thousands of actors who've done Hamlet, and I get letters all the time from kids in Hunchback saying, how'd you do this and why'd you do that? I can give you the why, but I'm not going to tell you how.
Okay.
Because it's
a
your...
A magician never reveals your, a secret.
Well, really, because it's your turn.
Right.
It's your turn to exist with your I don't know. And see, what does your community need?
Yeah.
You know, how can you breathe life into that in a way that gives meaning and brightness to those around you and yourself?
Well, Eric, you strike me as someone who thrives in a collaborating environment.
That's why I'm single. Anyone out there? Anyone?
Be careful. Yeah.
Be careful. Yes, go ahead.
But what's the energy like in the rehearsal room at Playfest, especially when everyone's contributing to something still in development?
Joyous. It's you know, I don't know the life experience of those around me. So the material becomes a stress test for that. It's like we're all tea bags. And the play ideally puts you in the right kind of hot water, not the kind that scalds you, but the kind that makes you shift form. And when you shift form, you see people's colors come out, and then you exist in living response to that, as if your organs sharing one body. The play becomes a single body. I've now switched metaphors at least 3 times. But that's the fun of it. Oh, gosh, I didn't expect that turn on that line. That means that I receive you differently and I deliver something differently to mm-hmm. you.
Meisner.
Yeah, Sandy Meisner. It's funny, I was one of the last students accepted to work with him.
Oh, and whoa. That was, you got to work with Sandy Meisner?
No, he passed away as soon as I was accepted, and it was something I did. But the tenets of his work, which for those of you who may not have heard his name or know his work, has to do with listening and responding. And if there's one thing that we all need now more than anything, it's to listen. And not just with our ears, with our eyes. Listen not to what people say. Listen to what's behind what they say. Listen to their hurt. Listen to their inherent request. Because we can awaken to actual renewed humanity when we listen, instead of just, it's the difference between hearing and listening mm-hmm. or looking and seeing.
Don't react, react. Yeah.
Yeah, and listen with the intent to understand, right? How often are you eating with someone or speaking with someone, and you can look in their eyes and you can tell when they are ready to lob the next comment before you have finished, because they want to know. They want to fill the space. But the danger in spending a silence with someone is that they may become someone before your eyes that you didn't expect, you know, transcending an idea you may have had. And that forces us to square off with them being just as human as we are. Yeah. And that's what theater's for. That's what art is for.
Well, this has been fantastic.
I don't think no one else is listening to this but us, because we've gone too deep too fast. But hey, I'm on a high.
Absolutely. Well, Drowning, Durango Play Fest. Get your tickets to durangoplayfest.org. What are the two show times?
I think we are closing out the festival. I believe we're on the 29th and I think the 28th, but you can go on the website. We've got four amazing plays. There are Monsters, Becky and Her Lung Transplant, DQM or Drag Queen Magic, and Drowning. And so you can pepper in your week with a bit of laughter, a bit of tears, and everything in between.
There you have it. All right. Go see all the shows.
Yeah. Why not? And meet some new friends. Look to your left and to your right. Say, you're here too. Let's talk about this afterward. Let's let this show knock on a door in our hearts and see what turns up.
All right. There you have it. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Listen, for 2 hours sleep, it's not bad. I feel pretty great. Thank you for your time, and thank you all for listening.
DurangoPlayFest.org, everybody. Get there. Get your tickets. Some of the shows are already selling out, so you need to get those tickets fast. It has arrived. The kickoff party is tonight. The playwright panel is tomorrow. And then all your shows are going to start on Thursday through Sunday. DurangoPlayFest.org. More on the way on Radio Without Rules, 107.9, 92.9, The Point.